few times, said it in Sunday school, and I just want to be certain that I'm understood. You vote as the Lord would have you to vote this morning.
Amen.
And I know undoubtedly that God has called me to be a pastor one day, and it's a matter of where He wants me, not where I want to be, not where you want me to be, but where God wants me to be.
Amen.
And like I said in Sunday school, I'm praying both ways. I'm praying that if it's not God's will, then He will close that door and He'll lead you to vote in that manner. And I'm praying that if it is God's will, that everything will transpire smoothly and God will call me to pastor the church. And that's a desire of my heart. Amen.
Amen.
So when that vote comes, you listen to the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
No matter what the person next to you thinks, you vote as God would have you to vote.
Right.
And I trust that you'll do that and that God will make the right decision through you for this church. And I love preaching here. I love the sweet spirit, the liberty that I have. And I hope that through the message this morning, I'll give you one last little taste of what kind of a person, what kind of a preacher, what kind of a pastor I am or would be. A little bit of philosophy, shed a little bit of a light on my philosophy of ministry and the work of God. And I hope it'll be a blessing and encouragement to you. I pray that it'll strengthen the church. And I'm very, very glad to be here this morning.
Amen.
I'm glad for the goodness of God. And without the grace of God, it's hard to tell where I would be. Amen? We'd be in a lot of trouble. We'd be locked up. Could be without a home, forsaken, Could be in the grave. But I'm glad that God intervened in my life as a 19-year-old young man and saved me from all that. Amen?
Amen.
And showed me there's a life to live for Christ. There's worth so much more, amen?
Amen.
And the devil, he pulls the wool over so many young people's eyes and gets them to see, with the pleasures of sin. The Bible says there's pleasure in sin for a season. But I'm glad that I got a little bit of... I got into the spout where the glory comes out, amen? And God showed me that serving Him is much better than trying to please other people and please myself and please the flesh. And I'm just very, very happy to be saved this morning and to know the Lord and to be given opportunities like this. And I said this in Sunday school, and I take it seriously. When God talks about the church in the Bible, He shed His blood and He died on that cross for the church.
Amen.
So that we could be redeemed from our sins. And when He's talking about the church, He means business. Amen. That's His bride, is the church. And so I take the things of God and I take the church seriously. And I just want to be a blessing to you this morning. And I hope that you can see a little bit of my heart through the message. And I pray that I can be transparent. And we're going to be in 2 Chronicles chapter number 1. 2 Chronicles chapter number 1. Amen. Love this passage of Scripture. I love this message. I love to study Solomon in the Bible. I love to study him because he was unique, that he was the wisest man to ever walk this earth, apart from, of course, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But the Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter number 1, of course, what's transpiring in the passage that we're reading, Solomon has just been anointed king. He's been appointed king. His father has died. He succeeded the throne of David. And now Solomon has set forth to rule and to reign. And we know that the Bible says that in a dream, God came to Solomon in that vision, and He told Solomon he could have anything, and Solomon, he asked for wisdom. The Bible says that he asked God for that wisdom to lead so great a people, the people that He entrusted them with, the people He entrusted Solomon with a great and mighty task. And he said, God, just give me wisdom so that I can lead this great nation. And God tells Solomon, He says, you didn't ask for your armies to be multiplied. You didn't ask for your power to be multiplied. He said, you didn't ask for your throne to be exalted or for riches or for fame or for wealth. But He said, because you've asked this thing, He said, I'm going to give you that wisdom. And the Bible is specific to tell us that there there was not a man that walked the earth before Solomon who was as wise, and there would not walk a man on the earth afterwards who was as wise. Now we know a little bit further in our Bibles, we go on and we read in the book of Ecclesiastes, and we read the Song of Solomon, and we read these scriptures, and we read the Proverbs, and we read all these things about this man, and we find that there's certain stages of his life and his walk with God. Things began to evolve, things began to change, and late in life he got away from those things, and even with all that wisdom, it wasn't applied. Amen? He fell away from fellowship with God, but the Solomon that we find right here in 2 Chronicles chapter number 1, I like what the Bible has to say, and I'm gonna get into the Scripture, but I just want us to understand that Solomon is wanting to do something for God. Amen? Solomon is wanting to build something for the glory of God. And I hope and I pray that everyone in here's heart and attitude is that when you die and you pass over on to glory and you stand before God, you can stand before Him one day unashamedly and say, I did my best to build something for your glory. We're going to get right in chapter number 1 and verse number 13. The Bible says, then Solomon came from his journey to the high place. He just offered sacrifice at Gibeon. And the Bible says, Solomon came from his journey to the high place that was at Gibeon to Jerusalem from before the tabernacle of the congregation and reigned over Israel. And Solomon gathered chariots and horsemen. As we read the Word of God, I don't want it to be just another Sunday morning message. I want it to be real to you. I want you to picture these things in your mind because these are extravagant things that we're talking about. This is a big deal that we're coming to in 2 Chronicles chapter number 1. And Solomon gathered chariots and horsemen, and had 1,400 chariots and 12,000 horsemen, which he placed in the chariots or in the chariot sites, cities, and with the king at Jerusalem. And the king made silver and gold at Jerusalem as plenteous as stones, and cedar trees made he as the sycamore trees that are in the vale for abundance. And Solomon had horses brought out of Egypt, and linen and yarn. The king's merchants received the linen and yarn at a price. For they fetched up and brought forth out of Egypt chariots for 600 shekels of silver, and an horse for 150. And he brought out the horses for all the kings of the Hittites and for the kings of Syria by their means. And listen closely to what we read in chapter number 2. And Solomon determined to build an house for the name of the Lord, and in house for his kingdom. And Solomon told out 70,000 men to bear burdens, and 80,000 to hew in the mountain, and 3,600 to oversee them. And Solomon sent Huram the king of Tyre, saying, as thou didst deal with David my father, and didst send him the cedars to build him a house to dwell therein, even so deal with me. And listen to what he says in verse number 4 to this king. Behold, I build an house to the name of the Lord my God, to dedicate it to Him and to burn before Him sweet incense and the continual showbread for the burnt offerings morning and evening on the Sabbaths and even and on the new moons and on the solemn feasts of the Lord our God. This is an ordinance forever to Israel. And the house which I build is great, for great is our God above all gods. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love You. Lord, we thank You for this day. I thank You for these folks. And Lord, I pray that as we get into the Scriptures, and Lord, as You would help me to preach, I pray that it might challenge our hearts to purpose within ourselves that we're going to make something of this life that You've given us, that we're going to get busy and build something for the work of God and build something for the glory of God. And Lord, I pray that through every point of the message that You might help us to understand what Your will is for our lives. I pray for the vote after the message concerning the pastorate, God. And Lord, I pray that You would just lead according to Your will, Father. Lord, have them to vote the way that You would have them to vote, God. And Lord, I pray that You leave no doubt in their minds and hearts. And God, I pray that as we gather into this Scripture this morning and as we look into Your Word, Lord, that You might help us, Lord, put a desire in our hearts to do something great for You. And we'll give You the praise, the honor, and the glory for it. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. If the Lord will help me here this morning, I want to preach on this thought, building something for the glory of God. And as we read this passage of Scripture, and as we think about everything that goes into building Solomon's temple, see, David, he wanted to build a temple for God, but God told him that it wasn't David's job to build that temple. He said, I'm going to give that to your son. It's going to be Solomon's temple. He's going to build it. He's going to raise it up. And that was God's will for Solomon's life. Now, at the church I work at now at Taze Valley, we're right in the middle of adding 1,900 square feet to that building. We got two different union crews there 5 days a week, and I'd say it's a crew of about 10 men. And let me say that everything's coming along smoothly. We've invested a lot of prayer and a lot of time and a lot of money into this, and God is blessing it, and we're building this thing up, and it's springing up before our very eyes. And I see the cranes that they bring in that set 40 feet up in the air, and I see the steamrollers they bring in and the concrete mixers they bring in and all the heavy equipment and all the men who are hanging off the suspended cables, and they're welding, and they're doing all these things. And I look at it and I think to myself, wow, it's incredible that God would do something this mighty in such a day and age. But even with all that effort and even with all that work that's taken place over there, that is nothing compared to what we find in 2 Chronicles chapter number 1. Solomon was serious about this thing. He got thousands and thousands of men, and he appointed them. He said, I want you to get the cedars. He said, I want you to lay the foundation. He said, I want you to go and I want you to put all the intricacies in there. And there was so much time, and there was so much faith, and there was so much prayer, and there was so much heartfelt intention invested in what we find Solomon trying to do for God in this passage of Scripture. And although we find that in this passage of Scripture, they're there in Jerusalem on the Temple Mount, on the threshing floor of Ornan, where God foreordained that He was going to put that temple, where He was going to dwell with the people of Jerusalem, I believe that in today's day and age, God can raise up something great for His glory. God can still build something great for His glory, and the Church of the Living God is that organism. Amen. It's not an organization. It is an organism. It is a living, breathing thing, the body of Christ, and God is using the local church today to build things for His glory. And as we look into this passage of Scripture, I believe that we can see how we as a church ought to fix our focus on Jesus, fix our eyes and our affections on Jesus, and put our desires to build something for His glory. And I can tell you, the first thing that it's going to take if we're going to build something for the glory of God is a commitment. A commitment. Look with me in verse number 4. That's where we're going to be for the remainder of the message. Verse number 4. Look what Solomon says. Behold, I build an house to the name of the Lord my God. I tell you, church, we find ourselves in a dangerous place in today's day and age when we come to church for our own reasons, to promote our own agendas, to further our own ideas, and to puff ourselves up and to put ourselves on a pedestal or a platform. Because if we're going to build anything for the glory of God in today's day and age, it's going to take a commitment, and it's going to take a commitment to God. Solomon didn't say, hey, listen, this is Solomon's temple we're talking about. He says, hey, I'm going to build a house to the name of the Lord my God. He said, when people say that, they're going to say, that's where God is. Not that's where Solomon goes to worship. That's that temple that he built. They're going to say, that is where God is. That's where He meets with His people. That's where the priests are doing the work of God. And that's God's station from where He's dealing with men all over this world. That is His center point. That is His headquarters. Amen. It's going to take a commitment to God alone. We have to have the right motives like Solomon did. Solomon said, I'm going to build it, I'm going to dedicate it in the name of the Lord my God, to dedicate it to Him. Amen. I tell you, one of the most convicting passages of Scripture in the entire Bible for me, right here, Colossians chapter number 3 and verse 16, the Bible says this: let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And the following verse says this: and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Amen. I'll tell you where you can get spread thin. I'll tell you where you can grow cold and you can get lukewarm in serving God is when you start to lose the desires to please the Lord. Amen. When it starts to become ritualistic, when you start going through the motions, when you start thinking, well, you know, praise God, I get to teach Sunday school. You know, Or I have to teach Sunday school this morning. You don't have to teach Sunday school this morning. You get to teach Sunday school this morning. I don't have to preach the service this morning. I get to preach the service this morning. The fact that God would look down on a group like us and would say, I'm going to use that one, I'm going to use that one, I'm going to use that one, when we're nothing but sinful, wicked creatures separated from God except for the grace of God. It's amazing that God would want to use us to do anything for His glory. I'll never in a million years, there will never be a day, Brother Larry, that I can imagine that I'll wake up and think, you know what? I can see how God would call me to preach. I can see how God would want to use me for something. I'm telling you, if God had called somebody like me to do something for Him, let me tell you, He's hard up, amen? He's hard up looking for fellas if He's willing to go down and call somebody like me to do a work for Him. But I'm going to tell you that it's easy when we start doing things for ourselves, when we start doing things to please other people, when we start doing things to gain the praise and the approval and the applause of men. That's when we start finding ourselves getting weary and well-doing. But if we purpose in our hearts to do something for the glory of God, when we decide, when we make up our minds to commit to God and that we're going to do everything that we do, that we're going to dedicate every fiber of our being to pleasing God, there is no limit to what God will do with one person. I heard a preacher say last week, Brother Mark Stroud, he's from Georgia, he said, a man who stands alone with God stands in the majority. That is one who is committed to God. One who is committed to serving the Lord, one who is committed to pleasing God, because I promise you that one day it's all going to be worth it. It's all going to be worth it. Your back might be sore from working and your hands might be numb and calloused, but I'm telling you, when we draw that final breath and we pass over into glory and we look on the face of the one that died on the cross of Calvary and He says, well done, thou good and faithful servant, it's going to be all worth it. In the end, amen. But if we're going to build something for the glory of God in today's day and age, it's going to take a commitment. And it's going to take a commitment to Him. Amen.
Amen.
Not only do we see that it takes a commitment, let's go back to verse number 4. Behold, I build a house to the name of the Lord my God, and to dedicate it to Him, and to burn before Him sweet incense, and for the continual showbread, and for the burnt offerings, morning and evening. Not only is it going to take a commitment, it's going to take a cost. And what we find throughout this passage of Scripture, as Solomon is describing the work that is going into building the temple, we see that he's dishing out some serious money. Lots of silver, lots of gold. He's hiring lots of servants. He's bringing in lots of wood, so the cedars of Lebanon, these trees that are wanted all over the world. He's bringing in all these things, and there is a cost that comes at building something for the glory of God. And he says, we're going to build it. He makes that commitment. He says, we're going to build it up for the name of the Lord our God. And he says, we are going to sacrifice there. One of my mentors, a man who pastored in Huntington, West Virginia, and was on staff at Taze Valley for a long time, one of my preacher's dearest friends, Dr. John Duffy, he told me when I first got in the ministry, he said, you can't consider something a ministry if it doesn't cost you something.
Amen.
If it doesn't cost you something. And might I say in here this morning that as we look at these sacrifices that they make, and we look at the showbread, and we look at the incense that's burned, and we look at the things that go into all these sacrifices that are made, we need to understand that in our Christian life, we're going to have to make some sacrifices ourselves. The Bible says in Romans chapter number 12 and verse 1, it says, my brethren, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present yourselves, your bodies, a living sacrifice before God, holy and acceptable in the sight of God. Amen? We are commanded to present ourselves a sacrifice before God, that we are willing to lay down anything and everything to pay whatever cost to get God's will accomplished in our lives. Amen? Mm-hmm. Paul, yeah, it's incredible to me. When you read about Paul, and you go over into 2 Timothy, we know that Timothy was identified by Paul as his son in the faith. Timothy to Christ by the preaching of the gospel. And you read in your Bibles, and you'll find that Timothy was found at a place called Lystra. And you go back in your Bibles, and you look in the book of Acts, and you find this account where Paul and Barnabas, they go and they preach in this place called Lystra. And this is the first time they come into contact with these people. And Paul, as he's in that prison in Rome, and he knows he's got the death penalty. He knows he's going to the guillotine. He knows he's going to lose his head, but he says, hey, he says, I've finished my course with joy. He says, I've ran the race that is set before me. Amen. He said, I've finished my course. Amen. But he pens this final letter to this young Timothy, this young preacher, this young man in the faith that he's invested so much into. And he reminds him of just exactly what happened there at Lystra. See, if you're familiar and you go back in your Bible, you'll find that Timothy and Paul, they went to Lystra. And this is what he writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy. He says this, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me in Antioch, at Iconium, and Lystra." See, Paul got ran off everywhere he went. "What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." And I'm not talking about a Baptist church, you know, I'm not talking about a Baptist church getting angry with somebody and running them off here. I'm talking about Paul and Barnabas went there and they preached the gospel and they did those miracles with the sign gifts that they had at that time according to the grace of God. And what the Bible teaches us is that those people, they said, this is Mercurius and this is Jupiter. These are those priests of this idol worship. And they made Paul and Barnabas the objects of their worship. But the Bible says that they went to get the fatted calves and they went to make sacrifices before him. And Paul said, whoa, wait a minute. He said, no, you got this all wrong. We're not here for you to worship us. We're here to tell you about Christ. We're here to tell you about the living God. We're here to tell you about the gospel. And it upset those people so bad that the Bible says that they stoned Paul. They stoned him to the point where his bones were broken, that he laid there, and that he was left for dead. They literally thought that he had lost his life. And the Bible says that they drug him outside of the gates of the city and they left him for dead. And hear this preacher. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that he got up and he went back to Lystra and preached the gospel. Man, I tell you, I never thought about it this way until just now. But you think of Timothy and you think of what he saw that day. And you think of the faithfulness that he saw in Paul. And you think of the cost that Paul was willing to pay. The price that he was willing to pay to do something for the glory of God. And I can't help but think of those kids that are downstairs. And I think of this next generation. Hey, it's not the church of tomorrow. They're the church of today. Amen. They're just as much a part of the church as we are. And they're looking to people like us. They're looking to the preachers. They're looking to their daddies and their mamas and their grandparents. And they're looking to these people to see what kind of cost they're willing to pay. They're looking to see what kind of endurance they're willing to have, what they're willing to withstand to do something for the glory of God. Because Paul, as he pens these words to Timothy, he assures him, he tells him, he says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecutions." I tell you, when I was a 19-year-old boy, and I was backslid on God and I was living like a devil, I had everything the world would have said that I needed. I had a job with good money. I had a pretty girlfriend. I had lots of buddies. My phone, it would buzz and it would ring all day at work because somebody wanted me somewhere that night to be there or to do something. It seemed like I was always wanted somewhere. I was always invited to all the places. I had all the connections. But on the inside, I was miserable. But you better believe when I made up my mind that I wasn't going to live like that anymore, that I was going to purpose in my heart to do something for God with the rest of the life that He'd given me, that phone stopped ringing. Those friends stopped calling. Those people started to try to avoid me rather than coming to me. Hey, if you decide that you're going to live for God, it is going to come at a cost. You're going to have to give up some friends. You're going to have some people in your own family that are going to turn their back on you. You're going to have to, it might cost you a job. It might cost you a promotion. But listen to me, friend. Everything that you lose in the sight of this world, God is going to replace it tenfold. And you'll be much happier standing in the center of God's will than you ever will be trying to fulfill your own desires. Amen. It's going to come at a cost if we're going to build something for the glory of God. There is going to be a sacrifice that is going to have to be made. And Jesus, He preached it a lot harder than I'm preaching it right now. Amen. I want to read to you what He said in Luke chapter number 14. He said, "And there went great multitudes with Him, and He turned and said unto them," listen to this, Jesus preaching. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life, he cannot be my disciple. We understand what Christ is saying, that if, you know, the love that we have for one another and for the people that are so close to us here on this earth, it should pale in comparison to the love that we have for God. Amen. He says this, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me, he cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost? Listen to this. Whether he have sufficient to finish it. Lest haply after he hath laid the foundation is not able to finish it. After that he behold, they begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. And he goes on and he talks about a king who goes to war and his army's short and he didn't count up the cost and he didn't plan ahead and he gets defeated and he gets swallowed up in defeat. And Jesus, he goes down to say this, and the Bible says, or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, listen to this, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. You want to talk about the cost of building something for the glory of God? You have to purpose in your heart and say, I'm willing to give up everything. And I tell you, I'm preaching to myself this morning. As much as I'm preaching to anybody else, I'm preaching to myself this morning. How much am I willing to give up? How much are you willing to give up? What cost are you willing to pay to have God glorified in your life? And last but not least, I'll finish with this thought, and we'll go back to verse number 4 right here. We've seen that it takes a commitment and it takes a cost. But last but not least, it's going to take consistency. Consistency. Look with me. Behold, I build an house to the name of the Lord my God, to dedicate it to Him and to burn before Him sweet incense for the continual showbread and for the burnt offerings, morning and evening. Some of you might not have known that there were priests that worked the night shift. Amen. That was a 24/7 around the clock place. I'm serious. They worked the night shift there. The Bible says this, morning and evening on the Sabbaths and on the new moons and on the solemn feasts of the Lord our God. This is an ordinance forever to Israel. Solomon said, hey, I'm not just building this thing up so we can look at it. Amen.
Amen.
We don't just get together on Sunday morning so we can fellowship and be around with one another. I'm telling you, that's a wonderful benefit of the church, but that's not the reason for the church. Amen. The church, the entire purpose of the church is to fulfill the great commission given to us by our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And it's going to take consistency if we're going to build something for the glory of God. See, these people in the passage of Scripture, he wasn't slack concerning the work of God. He said, well, you know, I'll tell you, Brother Larry, I got a wicked hangnail this morning. I don't think I'm going to be able to make it to make the sacrifices. I say, man, I tell you, that game was on awful late last night, so I don't think I'm going to be able to make it to church in the morning, but you pray for me. I've heard stuff like that before, I'm telling you. No, these people, they purposed in their heart. He said, morning and evening, on the new moons, on the solemn feast. He said, every chance we get, every opportunity that is provided for us to serve God, he said, we're going to take it, we're going to embrace it, we're going to take it, and we're going to do what we can to build something for the glory of God. The Bible says in the 134th Psalm, we go back to that night shift we were talking about a minute ago. He said, behold, bless ye the Lord and all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. The Lord hath made heaven and earth. Bless thee out of Zion. He said, which stand by night in the house of the Lord. Hey, God doesn't just call us to serve Him in the light.
Amen.
He calls us to serve us when the sun goes down too. Amen. When we're not in the church house.
Amen.
When the preacher can't see what's going on. Amen.
Yep.
When mom and dad can't see what you're doing. God has called us to live for Him and to be consistent in our servanthood to God. It's going to take consistency. Amen. I heard a story about a man. I don't know how they do it over in Britain. I'm not real sure. I'm not studied up on that. But they have a Navy. I know that. And there was a man. He was with the Navy there in the United Kingdom in Great Britain. And they went to this port.
in Sydney, Australia. And the man tells a story. He was a preacher. He was an evangelist about how he got saved. He said there was an old white-haired man who would stand on this street corner every day and he would just pass out tracts. He wasn't a preacher. He wasn't a deacon at his church. He was just a guy that worked an average 9-to-5 Monday through Friday job. But with all his spare time, he would go and he would hand out tracts and he would share the gospel with people. And he would tell stories of how he would invite the people into their house to feed them. And these soldiers that would come into this port at Sydney, and he said that he would do his best to share the gospel with them, to win them to Christ. And that preacher that got saved under that man's faithfulness, he goes on and he's preaching over in London and he's preaching in the UK, and he comes over and he preaches in America, and he's beginning to preach in Spain and all over Europe, and he tells that story of his testimony. And occasionally someone will come up to him and say, "I met that same man. That's how I was saved." It has to be the same guy right there by the port on this street. And he said, "I was walking to a restaurant. He stopped me and my friend and he gave us a tract and he led us to Christ." And the more places he began to go and the more places he began to tell that story, he began to meet all these people who were impacted by this one man's faithfulness. Don't ever underestimate what God can do with you and your life. Don't ever underestimate the impact that you're going to have on somebody's life. I think of all the great men of God that were led to school by their Sunday school teachers. I think of Charles Spurgeon who walked into the church on a Sunday morning and it was so snowy that the preacher couldn't make it there and they didn't have anybody. So a layman just stood up and he preached the Bible from Isaiah 1 where it says, "Come and let us reason, saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be made white as wool." Amen. And he preached the gospel and he was saved. And that man went on to preach the gospel for years and lead thousands and thousands to Christ. I think of D.L. Moody, who was led to the Lord by a shoe salesman in the back of a warehouse where he was working. And I think of all these people who are faithful in the small things and will never see on this side of eternity the impact that it has on this world that we live in today.
Amen.
The Bible says, so shall my word go forth and shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I have set forth for it. Don't ever underestimate what the power of the Word of God can do through someone who's yielded to the Holy Spirit. And I promise you this, you stay consistent to the Word of God. You serve God with an urgency and a consistency to keep on keeping on for the glory of God. You'll see things that the world cannot show you. You'll see things that backslidden, lukewarm Christians will never get to experience. I heard a preacher preaching the other night. He said, "We need more Holy Ghost-filled Christians." He said, "You don't get filled with the Holy Ghost by getting more of God." He said, "You get filled with the Holy Ghost by God getting more of you."
Amen.
Jude, he wrote in his epistle in the third verse, the Bible says this. He says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation," listen to what he says, "it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." Friend, if there was ever a day and an age when we need people to live for God, when we need people to be consistent, when we need people to show the world and the people that are lost and dying and on their way to hell outside of these walls that it's real, that it matters, that it can change their lives, it's today. And I exhort you and I beg you in here this morning, if you're in here and you're growing weary and you're growing tired, just stay consistent. Just stick with the stuff. Just keep on serving God. Just keep on loving God. There's going to be times, hey, I'll admit, I'll be a little bit transparent in here with you. There's nights when I'm tired and I don't feel like getting on my knees and praying. There's times when I have a headache and my head is just splitting. I take my glasses off and I begin to rest and I don't feel like straining my eyes and reading my Bible. There's times when I wake up and I'm sore or I'm sick or I'm fevered and I just don't feel like going to church because I know it's going to be loud and I know it's going to be singing and I know it's going to be preaching and my body just can't withstand that. But the consistency that it takes to build something for the glory of God, we're going to have to pray when we don't feel like praying. We're going to have to read that Bible when we don't feel like reading that Bible. We're going to have to get up and go to church when we don't feel like going to church. Amen. Solomon said, every opportunity we get, he said, the solemn, the days, the new moons, the feasts, he said, morning and evening, day and night, we're going to stay consistent. We're going to serve God. We're going to do what He asks of us. And we're going to build something for the glory of God. And let me tell you something, as much as we could ever do for Him, as much as we could give Him, He is worthy of so much more. And I tell you what would be good this morning is if some Christians would make up their mind that they're going to build something for the glory of God. If some Christians would make up their mind that they're going to do whatever it takes, no matter the cost, that they're going to make up their mind. Maybe God's dealing with your heart and your motives haven't been pure, and you need to come to the altar and pray and say, God, make it all about you. The Bible says that we must decrease, but He will increase. Amen. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? I invite you, I tell you, I believe we ought to be on the altar this morning praying for God to do something with this church. Praying for God to do something with this soul-winning station that He set up right here on Route 60 in Boyd County, West Virginia. God can use this place to build something for the glory of God. As we stand to our feet and as we sing, I'm going to sing, I Surrender All. And if God moves you, I invite you, come to the altar, pray for this church, pray for your lives, pray for your families, pray for those who need Christ, pray for those who need rejuvenated and revived, because God can still do something in this day and age. If you want to sing with me, it's page 308. All to Jesus.